Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, June 29th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Oh, it might be things are getting heated up, and all kinds of scenarios and situations could be coming down the pike and discussed. But first, I'd like to do the market report today. It's a little bit, a lot of action going on with the Dow being down over 300 points. But let's talk to gold first. Gold is up 490 in the New York spot price after market trade at 1180. And you have silver had a little pressure, down 7 at 1578. Platinum was down a buck at 1084. And you have palladium down 13 at $669. The USDX today, little pressure on that, down 4.6 at 94.94. Another hit with crude oil, down 1.47. at 58.16. Paper markets today, as I mentioned, you have the Dow down almost 2% at 348 points at, 17,597. You have the NASDAQ a little over 2%, almost 2.5%, down 122 on the NASDAQ, 49.58. The S&P down a little over 2%, down 43 points at 2,057. 10-year yield took a hit, down 0.15 at 2.33% on the yield. The euro, I guess the euro likes what's going on. It's up 0.64 at 1.12. The European markets, Germany was down 3.5%. Japan and Hong Kong and even China, they were all down close to 3%. London was down almost 2%. And so an active day in the markets, which you could equal, Al, all Greece. Or is it?
I don't think so. We'll watch and see, but I think here's a report from, there's a series of reports on Greece. They're all over the newspapers, but what I see are dramatic headlines, and then if you get further into the articles, an admission essentially that it ain't no big thing, or at least people in positions of power, knowledge, whatever, They think this is going to more or less blow over. Here's one from Reuters. Greece will not pay IMF loan due on Tuesday. Government official. I'm shocked, Melody. Shocked. All this time I thought they were going to pay. You know, it's like this is news. It's official. They will not pay the IMF loan. Here it is Monday. We've been fencing with this thing for 5 months. These people have been meeting and arguing and going through this debate, and now we are within 24 hours, and they say we will not pay the IMF loan, as if this is a surprise. Greece will not pay 1.6 billion euro loan, installment due the International Monetary Fund on Tuesday. Now, here's what it gets me. It says IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde earlier this month said Greece would be in default as of July 1st. Mm-hmm. If it failed to pay the money. I thought that this story was finally going to be over tomorrow on July 30th. All right? But now they're saying, oh, no, it'll last until July 1st, which kind of irritates me a little bit. It's not a big thing, but it kind of irritates me. But then it goes on, though an IMF spokesman last week said a missed payment would classify Greece as in arrears. So even if they don't make the payment tomorrow, they're not technically bankrupt or defaulting yet. They are merely in arrears, which means this thing may drag on for another month or two before this thing is finally, officially. You know, it's like one of these movies where you have to deal with Dracula or something. And you've got to get that steel stake and drive it right through his heart. Won't do. Kidney doesn't count. Lung doesn't count. You've got to get it through the heart exactly. And if you don't, the vampire keeps coming after you. Here's another, couple more articles. Biggest one-day loss since 2011 for European stocks as Greek crisis deepens. This is from Reuters. All right, European stocks. The biggest one-day loss since 2011. You look at the headline and you say, biggest one-day loss. Yeah, since 2011, the biggest one-day loss in 4 years. That's like saying the cup of coffee I had today was the best cup of coffee I've had in at least 24 hours. Well, that's not much of a recommendation. But nevertheless, the European markets are down. Significant loss. But they conclude, the selling did not hit panic levels, however, with European equities still up some 10% year-to-date and not far off seven-year highs. So what was the headline all about? It's his biggest one-day loss since 2011 for European stocks. There's the headline. And then it says, the selling did not hit panic levels, however, with European equities still up some 10% year-to-date and not far off seven-year highs, which means the sky is not actually falling, much to our surprise. There's another one from CNBC talking about the Dow. It was from earlier in the day. They say Dow drops nearly 250 points as Greek drama escalates. It's actually like 350 points now. You know, the fear factor is in here. They make it sound, they go, Dow drops 250 points. Oh, my gosh. But they get down deeper in the article, and they say the fear factor is increasing but is not reaching panic stage yet. They said the fear index would need to pass 18. The fear index jumped more than 25% to above 17.5, but this guy says, no, it's got to get past 18 and approach 20 to indicate major fear. And the point in all of this, for me, is that it's not clear that this Greek problem is going to be the crisis, the catastrophe, whatever, that's been projected by mainstream media. It's going to be a problem, I get that, but it's probably going to blow over, and it's not likely to collapse the global economy within the next 72 hours. A lot of people would kind of have you believe that. So what's going on in Greece? Well, I don't know. Not all that much. A big thing, it's a big story for Greece. I get that. For the rest of the world, I don't think it's that big a story. We'll watch and see. There's always a possibility that this thing could get legs and there may be an unexpected domino effect. and a level of contagion unexpected by me. There's other people that talk about it and they warn about it, but people look at it and say, this isn't that big a deal.
Well, I think it certainly has legs to which it could make it a big deal. I mean, when you look at Greece going to making agreements with Russia for a gas pipeline, and I mean, that's a big agreement, and I don't think the European Union appreciated that. Of course, there's discussions with Greece that they could go to either Russia or China for funds. Russia's already said, we're here if you want a loan, you know, we'll help you out. So Russia does have choices. The European Union central banks don't. They need Greek to make their to go along with the program. Cyprus is trying to do a referendum for Sunday. He's calling for one to where the Greeks would ask to vote if they support a bailout. And of course, Cyprus is urging the people to vote no. I think if it's the people, they're not going to, if it's given to them as much as they want to vote no, they'll probably vote yes because they want to have their money out of the banks and so forth. So it just depends on
There's a lot of variables on this. How the people are going to vote. You know, people are saying, oh, we're going to have a vote. Well, it's like having a vote on whether we should enter into the Civil War or not. Well, that ship has sailed. What difference does it make? If they're in a default as of tomorrow, if it's official or at least by the 1st of July, they're planning for some sort of a referendum later in the month of July.
No, this week. They're looking for a referendum. My point, Al, though, was the default could have some legs to where it could have some severe consequences. And no one really knows until it technically defaults. Then we'll know. And certainly there are possibilities that can occur from this. But I think the lesson that people need to gather from this is to see how people and everyone reacts to these situations. And it's not any different than what is happening here in the States. Let's bring it home. Let's bring it home and see that this country is bankrupt. We have payments that will come due that we won't be able to pay. Mm-hmm. We have the people, just like the Greek people who turned a blind eye. They elect people thinking that, oh, they're going to fix the problem, and they don't. They only make the problem worse because they vote for, I guess there's just their emotions, and they fall into the lies of these politicians that think that they're going to change something, and they're not. And therefore, people just wait. The Greek people had 2 weeks to pull out their money.
Yeah, I know.
2 weeks ago, they said last Monday there's a possibility the banks might close. They had a whole week to pull their money out. They have been pulling it out by the billions of dollars. But they could have had an extra week after warnings that it was going to happen. So today it happened. And it's not a good thing. It's certainly not a good thing. And I think the same thing will happen here. People hold on to their funds. They hold on to, you know, those yields that they think they're getting from the stock markets. And, oh, we have a little bit of it's going to come back. Hey, it wasn't that long ago that the stock market dropped to 6,000 and they brought it back to 18,000. So we're just going to hang in there. However, look at the difference. Look at the difference how this country has changed in those 7 short years. This country isn't like it was 7 years ago. It's far worse. And we have lost a lot of things in those 7 years. We've lost a lot of things since 2001. And we lost a lot of things since 1933 when they confiscated gold. And then in the 70s when they took us totally off the gold standard. So, you know, people don't see it, Al, until they get smacked across the head with a 2x4. Then they say, well, gee.
In fact, they don't get smacked by the 2x4 until after the fact.
Until after the fact.
All right. So filing income tax, I always like to file my income tax early, which is about 11 o'clock at night on April 15th. That's an hour early. It's human nature to procrastinate. Melody, you might know something about you may appreciate that.
Not I.
And, well, I'm just saying it's human nature to do so, and it's unfortunate, it's kind of sad. But my point is we have these headlines that are telling us how terrible this thing's going to be. And like you say, nobody really knows until it happens. It could be that there's going to be some sort of domino effect. There's going to be some sort of serious consequences and contagion that'll be traced back to the Greek default. But, you know, when you point to, if we have a serious problem and people say, oh, that's because of the Greek default. Well, okay, we could say that. We could also look a little bit deeper and say it's because the banks were dumb enough to lend all that money to Greece in the first place. Did the problem, if we're going to see a domino effect that's starting tomorrow with an official Greek default, is tomorrow really the start? Or did it start years ago when the banks, the IMF, the EU, the European Central Bank, whoever, the creditors, they loaned Greece too much money? You know, if you're stupid enough to loan your money to a crack addict, you can't say things all went wrong when the crack addict, you know, started driving or something. I don't know. It went wrong when you were dumb enough to lend to the crack addict in the first place. And if you want to chase it back further, we can sit back and say, well, maybe it all started when we got into the fiat currencies. When did we go off gold and silver and tangible metals? And if you want, we can trace it back. So the point I'm just making is it's hard to pick a real cause. We can look at it and we can see causes that are more credible, at least to me, than others. For example, I might trace this whole thing to fiat currency. Not to the Greeks per se. Not even to the bankers who were dumb enough to lend them all that money in the first place. Maybe you can trace it back to the fiat currency. But you can trace even that back further than that. And it becomes confusing and it's hard to... There are problems. You deal with the problems as they come along. It's convenient to blame one source or another when the problems happen. But I wonder how many of the times we identify the right perpetrator. Who's really responsible? You know, we have an inclination. We're going to blame somebody. Somebody's got to be responsible for this. And it's not me, Melody. I'm not responsible. You know, but maybe you are. Maybe I am. If we come to a difficult time, whose fault is it really? Is it Obama's fault? Is it Janet Yellen's fault? Or is it my fault from failing to prepare? You know, one of the lessons in this, one of the indications is if we want to sit back and point a finger and say, ha-ha, that's the one who's responsible. I lost all my money because, what was his name? Bernie Madoff. Because Bernie Madoff is a fraud. And that's all I... No, I lost all my money because I was dumb enough to believe that you could get something for nothing out of Bernie Madoff. That you could get exceptional returns. I was dumb enough to believe that. Maybe the fault isn't Obama's or Gillen's. I'm not giving them credit for anything. I'm just saying maybe the fault is life, the way it works, we're going to have problems. Right? And if you're having a problem, maybe you have to consider the possibility that it's your fault. Not because you caused the problem, but because if you had any sense, you could see it coming and prepare for it. But you didn't prepare. Or at least a lot of people don't. Most people don't. You see it all coming. You know, we're like the people riding the Titanic that are getting drunk in the lounge while the ship is sinking. They know there's going to be a problem. All right? But they're going to get drunk in the lounge anyway. That's I don't know, something in that about human nature. And I think the lesson in all of this is that those who are going to survive what may be difficult times are those who can see the difficult times coming and they prepare. And they don't say, well, I'm going to wait for Obama to save me or Janet Yellen to save me or the Greeks to save me or whoever. They just say, I am going to do what I can, take care of me, mine, mine. Those are the people who are most likely to survive. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
What's interesting about this is you have the Dow that plunges 300 points, and you know, all the articles about all the justices' decisions last week, sort of out of the news this week. So this is a big distraction that has taken a lot of things out of the top news that I think should be talked about. But so, again, how they use various situations to cover up what they do.
I talked to Corbett, James Corbett, when I interviewed him last week. I think it was on, well, I know it was for the Thursday program, but I think that was the time we talked about it. Questioning, you know, one of the things, we've got this Greek thing that's been waved in our face like a red flag in front of a bull, right? And we've heard that for 5 or 6 months.
Years.
And what we haven't heard is that right about the same time, right about now, the negotiations on the nuclear fuel issue in Iran, those negotiations are going to terminate in the next couple of days if they haven't already.
It's true.
Now, we haven't even heard about that. That hasn't been in the news. And it implicates the possibility of nuclear war. This is where Israel has been threatening to bomb Iran and so on. They did 6 months ago if they proceeded. And Israel is upset about this potential deal with Iran. But it's been almost completely out of the news. And you look at it and you wonder, does it make any sense that we would be more concerned with whether Greece does or does not default than we are with whether Iran does or does not get a nuclear weapon, because ultimately that's what this is, that's what these negotiations are about. And so you wonder, you don't hear anything about one, you can't get away from the first one, you don't hear anything about the second one. Is the first one really a problem, or is it just a diversion?
Well, what about the TPP? You know, they fast-tracked that through. The next thing you know, whew,
gone.
That's done.
Yeah.
They got what he wanted. No one's going to be questioned why they did what they did. Not now, anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's interesting, and I don't want to keep bringing up Trump, but I'll tell you what, he's the only one that's called on about Iran, about the negotiations. He mm-hmm. talks about that we look like a bunch of beggars.
Yeah.
To Iran. I mean, he's the only one that's calling it out. He's the only one that's calling out the immigration. He loses his connection to NBC and so forth. I mean, and he comes out and says, hey, they stand behind Brian Williams, but they don't stand behind people who tell the truth.
Yep.
I mean, so he's got a mouth. He's got a voice.
Yeah, I understand that. That's one thing you can like about him. All right, you don't get the impression he's going to be silenced and he's not likely to be politically correct. Whether you like what he says or you don't like what he says, you can be pretty sure he's going to say something. It's going to be controversial and it's going to be the truth insofar as he's, you know, from his opinion, I think he'll tell us what he believes the truth is. So,
I think
for the moment, I don't know, Trump's my favorite at the moment.
I think sometimes we have to get over the fact that we have to like everything that someone says.
I understand that. I understand
and that's a problem.
That exactly.
That's a problem.
Everybody, all of these politicians are trying to be all things to all people. They're in favor of lower taxes for whites and more entitlements for blacks. You know, and it just depends. They'll say whatever the particular audience wants to hear. And at no point will they say something that nobody wants to hear. And Trump will.
But the point that I was making is just because you like someone, he can still say things you don't like, but he might still be the best chance that we have today.
Yeah, I agree.
And maybe we can fix little things or at least bring attention. And maybe it'll still collapse. But at least there might be someone there. Well, it will collapse, no doubt about it. But, I mean, so you don't have to like a person 100% or what he says 100% and throw him out the window just because he does.
Because part of the thing about telling people the truth.
You're not going to please everyone.
Well, it may be that you're not going to please, but you are going to show them a certain amount of respect in the mm-hmm. sense that you're not saying the truth. You can't handle the truth. And that's what most of our government seems to think. Oh, my gosh, don't let the voters find out. Whatever you do, don't let the dummies out there in TV land and radio land and internet land, don't tell them the truth, whatever you do, because they can't handle the truth. Trump is just saying, look, you can handle the truth, and if you can't, too bad for you.
I mean, he's the only one that really vocally came out and said, hey, marriage, man and woman.
Yeah.
They attacked him on his third marriage, and he explains it. And so, yeah, you know, he doesn't try to wiggle out of it. He doesn't try to, you know, make something out of it that it wasn't. And, you know, so there's a lot of issues that he is actually.
Does he use a teleprompter?
I don't think so.
I don't think he does either.
I know
that's a step in the right direction.
He does have a tendency to repeat himself, but I think he just gets so excited and you know, he repeats what he says. But there was something else that he made a comment about that he got in trouble for. No, I can't think of it offhand. But, I know what I wanted to say. And there's a lot of Christian. I don't like abortions. But, you know, and I don't know his views on abortions. I don't know how conservative right he is. I mean, I don't know. And but I've heard over the years, well, you know, he doesn't, that's not number one on his agenda. And it's like, well, you have to look at the whole picture. And as much as I'd like to have that as being number one on the agenda, sometimes it's not, but you have to look at the whole picture.
I agree with you. You know, you can't fight every battle that comes down the road. you wear yourself out. You have to pick a few battles, pick a few fights that you are, and it's not all of them. Say, I'd like to fight this one, but I don't have enough energy to fight that one, plus the other 3 or 4 or 10 that I'm already working on. You know, you just got to draw a line someplace.
So what's nice?
And everybody draws the line at a different place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I draw the line is not where everybody else has to draw the line, but for me, you know, there's some issues that I am passionate about, and there's others that I are, I'm interested and I'm supportive and the rest of that sort of thing, but don't have the energy to really get into them.
So,
and isn't that, I'm not referring to, I'm against abortion.
Absolutely.
For me, Declaration of Independence says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. When they say Creator, they're talking about God. That among these, meaning among these rights that we receive from God, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When you compare the Declaration of Independence to the 14th Amendment, 14th Amendment says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. In the 14th Amendment, you've got to be born before those civil rights that are associated with the 14th Amendment apply. All right? You've got to be born. With the Declaration of Independence, you have to be created. Your right to life, God-given right to life, is an attribute of your creation, not your birth. Your creation takes place no later than the moment of conception. Under the Declaration of Independence, there isn't going to be any abortion. Under the 14th Amendment, it's no big problem, because until the child is actually born, it's just meat from the perspective of the 14th Amendment. From my perspective, I agree with the Declaration of Independence. And I agree, there's a verse in Jeremiah where God is talking to Jeremiah, and he says, I knew you before you were even in your mother's womb, which implies, if you believe the Bible, if that section of the Bible is true, it implies we're all created before we were ever even conceived. But the point being that the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is from God. It's unalienable, and it attaches at the moment of creation. Under the Declaration of Independence, there shouldn't be any abortion, because even the unborn has the right to life, because the unborn is still is already created. Right? Even the unborn doesn't have any rights under the 14th Amendment. Under the Declaration of Independence, they do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this world gets crazier and crazier. The Memphis mayor wants to literally dig up a Confederate general and move him. He wants to. Memphis mayor. Have people gone insane? Mayor A.C. Wharton has called for the removal of the grave of Confederate General Nathan Bedford Forrest from his city park, along with an attached memorial. These relics, these messages, in this despicable period of this great nation, it's time for those to be moved. Well, where does he want to move them to? In the,
I don't know. The whole thing is just
crazy.
Absurd. Just absurd. And they talk about this despicable period. I was in Washington, D.C. probably a decade ago now. It's probably 10 years since I've been there. And we went to the Jefferson Memorial, and we also went to the Lincoln Memorial. And there is text carved in stone on the Lincoln Memorial. And I can't quote it precise. I can just give you a general description of what it said. But it was from about 1863. The Civil War had been ongoing for 3 years. The death toll was horrendous. Most people, when they got into the Civil War, they thought it'd be over in a matter of 90 days or 6 months. But it'd be a little scurry and blah, blah, blah. It'd be kind of fun to go to war. And then they'd be back home. Well, it dragged on, and they were now 3 years into this thing. And it was in 1863 when Lincoln wrote, and it's inscribed on the wall, he wrote words that amounted to this. He essentially said, we didn't realize how much trouble we were going to get into when we got into this Civil War. And it was only about 1863 that Lincoln began to see that maybe this had something to do with slavery. They didn't start the Civil War to save the blacks. I mean, the whole idea is crazy and bizarre. It's as nutty as saying that a gang of Bloods fights a gang of Crips to protect some white girls who stumbled into the south side of Chicago on Saturday night. The Bloods are not going to kill the Crips to save the whites. It ain't happening. And the idea that the whites fought and killed each other in enormous numbers in the Civil War to stop slavery is a crock. They got in so deep, they finally had to say, what are we doing here? And they had to come up with a pretext. The original reasons were economic more than anything else. They wanted to keep the South in a position of providing cheap commodities to the industrial North. The South didn't want to do it. They wanted to break loose. Slavery was not the issue, but it did become the excuse. So, and now we have people saying it was a despicable period. Well, it may have been despicable, but not because anyone was fighting to eliminate slavery. It was despicable because the war was commercial. The foundation for the Civil War was commercial. It wasn't about freeing the slaves. Later on, they said, oh, that's why all these people died, to free the slaves. And it followed that if the North was fighting to free the slaves, then, ergo, the South must have been fighting to keep the slaves. Like the South was fighting just to keep control of, get a fair price for cotton.
Well, the states wanted, although there was a handful of states that wanted to succeed from.
Well, of course they did. I mean,
and that's what
idea.
It was to stop it. And they didn't, you know, they didn't want them to do so.
Well, I'm just saying that my point.
They weren't
is
allowed
that
to.
Today's furor about, oh my gosh, a Confederate flag, and it's a despicable period, and we're going to even dig up people who were buried back then. Yeah. Why don't we dig up all the Confederate cemeteries? Why don't we dig them all up? And we can burn all the courthouses to the ground that were built during the Civil War and destroy the monuments that are there, all of them. Get rid of all of them. I mean, people are just nuts, for God's sake. It's just so stupid, and it's a tribute to both how stupid people can be and how exploitive and absurd politicians can be. Right now, they figure like they can make a little bit of headway by, you know, Confederate flag is an issue. Let's jump on the bandwagon. A crisis is a terrible thing to waste. Let's exploit it. And this contrasts, perhaps, with Donald Trump, talking about him earlier. He's essentially just saying, let's call a spade, let's deal with the problems. I don't think it's part of his mentality to sit back and say, a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. I think he understands if you have a crisis, you solve it. Let's get rid of it. Let's not exploit it. Let's not be part of the damn trouble. And most of the politicians, they're more than happy to be part of the problem if they can get a few more votes. And Trump is saying, no, I'm not going to be part of the problem. I'm going to end the problem. At least try to. So it's a contrast between politics. I don't believe Trump is going to dig up any Confederate graves. And he's not that stupid, but some people are. So what else have we got, Melody?
We're about ready to go to a break. I just want to go back when I was given the market report. You know, we talk about the fear and greed index, and it was hovering around, you know, between 40 and 50. Today it was at 11. So there is extreme fear in the markets. Now we'll just have to find out real or not.
Well, I don't know. Fear is always subjective, but we'll see if it's got legs or not. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to take a break for some commercial announcements, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what I regard as one of the biggest stories perhaps of the year, and that's China announces they will be setting a new gold price by the end of this year, within 6 months. This is a very important story. We'll talk about it when we come back. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Jim from West Virginia is online, but before we get to him, I want to do this article on China. They announced they'll be setting a new gold price by the end of the year. On June 25th, a representative from Shanghai Gold Exchange announced that they are planning on establishing a new physical gold price mechanism by the end of the year that will compete with London and the United States COMEX market. Expected to be denominated in yuan, the new gold price platform comes less than 10 days after China became the first Asian country invited to be part of the London gold fix. And unlike the U.S. COMEX, this new physical gold price mechanism will deal in direct physical gold sales rather than paper, futures, and derivative contracts that we find in this country. Sources claim that right now premiums on large sales of gold bullion are ranging as high as $600 over the current paper spot price. In other words, they're still selling coins, 1 ounce coins of gold in China for roughly the same price you can pay for them here in the United States. But if you're purchasing large quantities of gold, and we may be talking a ton or more, I don't know what they mean by a large quantity. They're selling gold for $1,800 an ounce in China. Right now, the new price mechanism is not in effect. It will go into effect sometime before the end of this year, meaning within the next 6 months. This new price mechanism will go into effect, but right now, at least for large orders, the price of gold in China is already $600 an ounce higher than it is here in the United States. Now, this tells me that when they set this new pricing mechanism up in China, the odds are it's going to push the physical price of gold dramatically higher, not just in China, but ultimately around the world. And it's going to happen within the next 6 months. It's already $600 an ounce higher, at least for big orders. I think we're going to see something like that for smaller orders. I'm not going to argue that we can see the price of gold double before the end of this year. But it's not inconceivable. Once you set this new market, turn it loose in China at the Shanghai Gold Exchange, we're going to see a true free market price, well, hopefully free market, something like free market, but not manipulated, not paper gold price, which is all we get out of comics. We're going to see what is the price for physical gold, and I can't imagine that it's going to be lower than it is today. It has to be higher, and I don't think it's going to be $50 higher. I think there's a good chance that we could see gold, as nutty as it sounds. I know, and I'm not betting on it. I'm not making a prediction, but I am telling you that it is conceivable that the price of gold could jump $1,000 before the end of this year. I think it will double by this time next year. If China really does set this new gold market up at the Shanghai Gold Exchange and start making the price of gold, setting the price for physical gold, not paper gold. And what are the consequences going to be? What will happen to the gold markets in the United States and COMEX and the London Bullion Fix, insofar as the London Gold Fix, insofar as they've been setting the price of paper gold? I'm not saying that they will completely disappear, but they are going to have some real competition. And people are going to understand what physical gold is worth, and how can you keep selling gold? Say, oh, we're going to issue a contract. Here, we're going to issue, you can buy a futures contract for gold for $1,200 an ounce. And we can do that because we know you're not going to get the gold. We're going to just give you paper, and if it goes higher, you'll make a paper profit, and we'll give you a check. What happens if COMEX is selling gold for $1,200 an ounce and China is selling physical gold for $1,800 an ounce? How long can COMEX stay in business saying we'll give you an ounce of gold for $1,200 when China will give you $1,800 for an ounce of gold? My point is that people would swarm into the COMEX market and say, yeah, I'll take some of your gold contracts. And when COMEX tries to pay off with just a paper check, they're going to say, no, I don't want the paper check. I want the physical gold so I can turn around and sell it to China and make a 50% profit. My point is that China is doing something extraordinary. And they say it's going to be done before the end of this year. And they don't say, I mean, it could be done next quarter. But they do say it'll be done by the end of this year. We'll watch and see. But if it pans out as announced, the price of gold is going to jump dramatically, probably before the end of this year. And in my gut, I can't tell you it's God's truth, but you look at it. If this is true, if this happens, logic, insofar as I'm able to do any logic, tells me the price of gold is due to go up big time. And by this time next year, it's not inconceivable that the price of gold can double. We'll watch and see. I'm not going to make that prediction, but I'm telling you, it's not inconceivable. Let's take the call from Jim in West Virginia. What you got, Jim?
Well, I don't have a whole lot to say today, but it's rather intense. You're talking about slavery and such as that. I am not, I repeat, not defending the institution of slavery. But if you had a plantation in the Deep South and you abused your slaves too much, you wouldn't get as much work out of them. So there was a natural limit as to how much abuse. There were horrible plantations. There were not so horrible plantations where the slaves were told, you're free. They said, where do we go? What do we do? But I'm not defending slavery. What I am telling you is this, very, very simply. The greatest battles in this world's history have not been between races or religions or nations. It has been between freedom, God-given freedom, the same freedom he gives a groundhog, and slavery to government called tyranny, when those who are to be our protectors become our oppressors. Now, not only are we being enslaved, we're two-thirds enslaved right now, because two-thirds of every dollar you spend ends up going back to the supply chain to pay all the taxes. Not only is the government doing its very best to enslave us, we're two-thirds enslaved, folks. They also want to kill anybody who will not enslave themselves to the government. So wake up, open your eyes, and understand where we really, really are now. People who are solid, honest people, Christian or whatever religion, honest people, cannot believe that there are people so evil who would want to kill anybody who would not choose to enslave themselves to these evil people, but just understand what the real issues are. It is between freedom and tyranny when those who would be our protectors become our oppressors, and they want to enslave all, and those who won't be enslaved will be murdered. Okay, I think I've said enough for today.
All right, Jim. Appreciate it. Thanks for your call. Jim from West Virginia. And he's basically correct. I don't see this myself. I'm inclined to see this as spiritual warfare. I don't just see it between slavery and freedom, but they are two manifestations. I look at it as spiritual warfare. I see the conflict is going on since Garden of Eden. You know, that battle is going on between good and evil rather than slavery and freedom, just another two words for the same thing. Talk about the 13th Amendment, however. One of the things after, right at the end of the Civil War, the government passed the 13th Amendment, the Constitution, which declared that all persons, I can't remember the words, but it said slavery shall not exist within the United States of America. All right. Well, that was interesting, but what did it do? It said they freed the slaves, yeah, but then what? It was equivalent to simply outlawing all Ford motor vehicles and saying starting on July 1st, all Ford motor vehicles will be illegal. Well, what do you do with those cars? If you can't drive them anymore, what do you do with them? You just leave them along the road. The slaves... Slavery was outlawed, but it didn't change the status of the slaves. The slaves were still deemed to be chattel, but they were a kind of chattel that could not be owned anymore, could not be controlled. And they now what are they going to do with them? They're just kind of running wild, but they didn't have any place to go. They didn't have anything to do. They came back with the 14th Amendment a little while later, and they declared created a new class of citizenship to deal with the slaves, all persons born and naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. They created a new class of citizenship. It was never, the class of 14th Amendment citizenship was never equivalent to the citizenship that could be found if you were one of the people of the states of the Union. I don't think they ever elevated whites. This would certainly be an unpopular position, but I don't believe the government ever elevated blacks to the same status as whites. Over the years, what they've done instead is degrade whites to the same status as blacks. And it's that perspective is at least consistent with what Jim was talking about, where he said, you know, this is a fight between freedom and slavery. They're trying to treat us as things, as chattel. And a lot of people say that's crazy talk, but, you know, I've mentioned a time or two on this program, I've been sued by the Attorney General of Texas for $25,000 per day. That's $9 million per year. It was for the manufacture and distribution of a controlled substance, and the controlled substance was colloidal silver. All I did was I was fiduciary for a trust that leased some tables, chairs, and computers to a corporation that was manufacturing colloidal silver. They dragged me in as a defendant, seven defendants. I read the relevant law and realized the drug laws expressly declare, they make it clear, although virtually everyone's overlooked this, that they regard the people as animals. And my argument was, I'm a man made in God's image. Right? And as such, I can't be an animal. Bible says on the sixth day God created man in his image and gave man dominion over the animals, meaning the men made in God's image can't be animals. They have dominion over the animals. And therefore, I argued that you can't subject me to the drug laws that presume the people to be animals without violating my freedom of religion. And the Attorney General of Texas, after investing 6 years and nearly $500,000 in the case, he simply dropped the case. They didn't want to face that argument, but the truth is, our medical business, our medical, the definition of food, the definition of drugs since the 1906 Pure Food and Drug Act have been defined in a way to, that presumes the people to be animals. Now, and it's gone by. Nobody's picked up on this. Nobody's understood it. And it sounds like a crazy idea, but it is evidence that the government wants us enslaved. They want us in bondage. They want us to assume a capacity, a status that is that of animals, not men and women who are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. No, animals. It goes to the war on drugs. It goes to the billions of profits that are made by major pharmaceutical firms. It goes to American medicine. It goes to the prison industrial complex where 70% of the people in prisons today, or at least federal prisons, are there on drug-related charges. All of those imprisoned people are there on the presumption that they are animals rather than men and women made in God's image. This is evidence of the kind of war Jim from West Virginia was just talking about. He sees it freedom versus slavery. I see it spiritual warfare, good versus evil. But we see the war, and it's a big thing. And it's been going on, again, 1906, Pure Food and Drug Act. They tell you that they define drugs and they define food, both of them, in terms of man or other animals. The phrase man or other animals means they perceive man to be an animal. Huh? If you're an animal, you don't have any God-given unalienable rights. Everything we talk about in the Declaration of Independence doesn't apply to you if you're nothing but livestock. And we've talked for a decade or more about how the government intends to keep us as livestock on the global plantation. And we've joked about it. And then we stumbled into this insight concerning the drug laws and realized it wasn't a joke. They really do see you and me and your children as nothing but animals. And if you are, you don't have any significant, you have no God-given unalienable rights. The foundation that this country started with, they've tried to wipe that out and said, oh, you're just animals. You're just animals. If you are, you have no more rights than a chicken in a Tyson poultry processing plant. Right? Go talk to the judge about your rights. Talk to the cops about your rights. So long as the law perceives you to be an animal, you got nothing. So I guess we're about out of time. Melody, what have we got, 30 seconds left? Anything you'd like to add?
Nope.
Well, you better think of something.
Well, I just wanted to remind the listeners to give us a call at 1-800-375-418. We're continuing with the 2015 special that we have. And again, we saw gold stronger today, not by much, but a little bit of pressure on silver and the other white metals. But I think they will certainly rebound here in the challenges that we face here in the very near future. So take advantage these low prices. You hear me say that all the time. You can't time the lows, you can't time the highs. So we're in a trading range until it breaks out, so take advantage of it. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you folks visit our website at dgscoins.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter, and of course, you can listen to the program's archive there and on a daily basis. So
we're out of time, Melody.
We're out of time. All right.
We're out of time probably a minute and a half ago, maybe 5 minutes ago. I'm not sure. But we're out of time. Thanks for listening. Be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.